It's the king of old school, Steve Carino, ROH color commentator and, well, legend. And you're listening to Condo on the Moon.
Welcome to Condo on the Moon. It's been a little bit of a busy week and a pretty good week for someone we love a heck of a lot on the Condo on the Moon. That would be one Kevin Steen Owens, who was all over the map on WWE this week. Also, news of the TNAers and, well, their ultimate demise. We may now know when that is. And if you forget, way back when, I was at the ROH television tapings on Saturday. It's been a huge week of wrestling. Chris Walder, what have you been doing to celebrate this epic week in wrestling?
Sitting back, enjoying the show, grabbing a brewski, and just soaking in all of the Kevin Owens love.
It is. It's the Kevin Owens love week on wrestling podcasts, on Twitter, anywhere you find stuff. And I think, you know, we go back to where all this started. Kevin Owens made a surprise appearance on Monday Night Raw and came out during the U.S. Open Challenge segment with John Cena, which, aside from Kevin Owens, admittedly has been one of the hottest segments on Raw. Out comes Kevin. He does not accept the challenge, ultimately, and tells Cena he has his own belt. When Cena offers him some advice, he tells Cena to stick it. He has 15 years of experience, more than actually John does. And just for a little nod to the Canadian fans, steps on the U.S. title belt, and the world and internet explodes. I've heard some people trying to be nitpicky and saying, oh, he never got a pop when he came out. They were in, like, some little town in Virginia. Sami Zayn, when he did the same thing, they were in Montreal. I guarantee you, if Kevin Owens came out in Montreal, the reaction would have been the same or louder for Kevin.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, that crowd throughout the entire night was just humdrum at best. And when Kevin Owens came out there, right away on Twitter, I'm like, please don't look too much into this reaction because the fans have been dead, you know, from the start till the finish. But, you know, lo and behold, Kevin, you know, throughout the whole promo with Cena, started getting some fight Owens fight and kill Owens kill chants from the crowd. So that was really cool. But if you go to WrestlingRumors.net, we did a pre-show prior to Raw, and I 100% called it. I said Kevin Owens was going to be the man to challenge John Cena that night, and I didn't say it here on the podcast, so it's hard for me to prove it, but if you go check out the YouTube page, you will see Chris Walder saying Kevin Owens was going to answer the challenge, and I figured that was going to be the case because of the NXT paper, the NXT special coming up a few days later, so I was on cloud nine, man. Walder called it.
Wow, the Swiss millennial gets one right.
I did, sir.
Even the Dave Meltzer didn't have that one before it happened, I don't think.
That was a Walder exclusive right
wow.
there, even though it was a complete left out of field guess, you know what I mean? But
although, we'll get to Meltzer in some other news later on, but with everything that went on for Kevin, I was just a fan. I never expected it. I literally jumped up and, like, I'm a big man. If I could have touched my ceiling, I probably would. I didn't, but it was a great moment for Kevin. And just the way he came out and the way he spoke, for people who are longtime Kevin Steen fans, the way he talked to John Cena is how Kevin Owens talks. When he came out there with that, "Hello, John," I was like, okay, it's on. And, you know, his sarcastic. And then, of course, you mentioned NXT Unstoppable. He goes out there, he fights Sami Zayn. We'll get into that match and the whole card later. But the fact he came out there in a John Cena t-shirt with the champ is here. It's just classic Kevin Owens.
Do you think he was kind of foreshadowing his appearance on Raw during the Philadelphia shows, the NXT live events? Because he was doing the "You Can't See Me" taunt at every one of those shows. So maybe he was kind of letting fans know, hey, Monday Night Raw, keep a lookout for that Cena open challenge.
Who knows? I mean, his son, Owen, who, by the way, his reaction to his father coming out to face John was absolutely off the charts. Kevin's wife has an Instagram account. It's listed on his Twitter, so it's not like he's hiding the fact his wife has an Instagram account. And Owen's reaction to his father coming out to confront John Cena. That made the night for me. I didn't think I could be happier, and then I saw that video, and I just smiled even bigger.
It was priceless. And that video actually ended up going viral. A lot of outlets picked that up. You know, kid sees his father challenge John Cena on Monday Night Raw. Such a cool moment for him.
Yeah, just great. And, I mean, so, you know, I would have put it off to that. Like, maybe, you know, it was just maybe Owen was traveling with Kevin and, you know, he was just doing the John Cena stuff to entertain him. But he also did an interview with Sam Roberts where he did say whether I'm on Raw this week, a month from now, a year and a half from now. So maybe that was a little tease too. But all in all, you know, it was a big week for Kevin Owens. By the way, Sam Roberts' interview with Kevin Owens, great stuff. We get to hear what makes Kevin Owens cry. It's a hilarious, totally typical Kevin Owens interview, and honest as the day is long, just a great guy, and so happy for all the things that are happening for him. Really, that was the highlight of Raw to me. It was a great Raw overall. A lot of surprising things in that Raw, though, too. Dean Ambrose is now your number one contender for the World Heavyweight title. I don't think anyone saw that coming, either.
No, I actually disagree with you. I felt Dean Ambrose would have been the perfect challenger for Seth Rollins at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, only because, you know, you look at the other two guys. You had Randy Orton, who's been in both title matches for the last two pay-per-views, kind of ruled him out in that regard, and I think they want to save Roman Reigns for one of the bigger events, like Money in the Bank coming up. So when you have kind of like this filler network special, the Chamber, I mean, Dean Ambrose, I mean, that's a guaranteed match of the night, you know, in the main event right there. So Ambrose isn't going to win, but holy crap, that's like the safe bet.
I think too, what both these matches have in common, Kevin Owens versus John Cena and Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins, the internet loves both of these matches.
Absolutely.
This is a card really geared at the hardcore fan of WWE.
Yeah, I mean, the card already looks better than what we got, you know, a few weeks ago at Payback. And this has just been thrown together in a couple of weeks. You got the two chamber matches, and then you got Owens and Ambrose fighting for the two biggest titles in the company. Like, how awesome is that?
I literally forgot about Payback the moment Raw came on the air. I mean,
yeah.
We're not even going to talk about it in this show, because honestly, there's way too much other stuff to talk about. And I think Payback's become pretty much irrelevant. Nothing happened on that pay-per-view.
The wrestling was fine, but again, it was just one of those shows that you didn't have to see. Big ups to the tag team match, and the main event was solid, but again, nothing you had to desperately see.
No, it was just a you know, placeholder show in every sense of the word.
But now we get the really good stuff with the Chamber coming up next weekend.
Yeah, so anyway, let's move on to NXT Unstoppable, which I thought was a very interesting show on a lot of levels. It was one of the more interesting NXT specials because I thought there was some really great moments in this special. There was some really moments in the special. It wasn't the runaway success that a lot of the other NXT specials have been overall, but because of certain things that happened on this show, it keeps the reputation of these events at the ultra high level.
Well, I would love to hear what you had to say that wasn't to your liking. Any specifics, any matches that you weren't a fan of?
Well, no, I'm talking the general sentiment in public, but if you want to get specifically, Baron Corbin and Rhino was a waste of time.
Yeah, Corbin is seriously still a work in progress, and obviously they paired him with a veteran like Rhino to get some sort of a decent encounter out of it, but again, it was very clunky. Just two big guys, and the commentators were really emphasizing that throughout the entire match. But Corbin isn't going to be making his main roster debut anytime soon. He still has a long way to go.
And you see, that's what we're going to get into. Triple H had his annual conference call right before this event. We'll get into some of the things he had to say. But one of the things with this whole idea of NXT becoming a brand instead of a developmental system, which originally was what it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think guys like Baron Corbin, a girl like Dana Brooke, got thrown into the deep end with really nothing. like floaties, not even supplied, and said swim. And I think that's unfair to them in some respects. I'm not saying Baron Corbin's going to become this huge star, or, you know, we've liked Dana Brooke's look and all that, but wrestling-wise, I think she's left us a little bit scared at her prospects going forward. Although, when you look at the main roster, if you're a woman, at least at this point, wrestling is not a requirement to make the main roster, so she still might be okay. But the point is, for the true people who are trying to develop, I think this is a very daunting task to be on these shows.
I mean, it's difficult for Triple H right now because NXT has become this runaway success, but at the end of the day, you have to remember what it was first built for, and that was to develop the stars of the future. And like you said, Dana Brooke and Baron Corbin and a few others, maybe they shouldn't have been put on the specials and the television tapings right away because, again, at least between the ropes, they have a long way to go, but at the same time, you want to continue building the brand. You want to add stars. They both have potential. I mean, just looking at them, you could see right away that they could be main roster guys in the next couple of years. But again, I mean, we've seen in their last couple of bouts that they're not ready yet. But again, when you keep bringing up all these independent guys, you at least have some sort of leeway there where you can have the established stars, and then you can have the lesser known talents who still need seasoning to, you know, kind of cater to that.
Anyway, let's get to this card. We had to figure out why Hideo Itami was not going to be in this three-way match. What did you think of how they dealt with this? I thought this was kind of classic corny wrestling, although I did love the fact that at the end of it, we're left to believe Kevin Owens might have had something to do with all of this as well. Not that Kevin, you know, has anything else to do, but apparently he's tied into this little angle as well.
Yeah, now you have Owens having another feud in the future when Hideo Itami comes back. But obviously they had to do something to write him off, and I figured it was either, you know, going to be like a backstage attack during the show at some point, or like what they did with that grainy footage outside in the parking lot.
That fan footage, was that you, Chris Walder? The millennial taping that interview with Kaz and, I blanked out Enzo.
Yeah, no, that was not me, unfortunately. I would be the one. I'm so nice. I'm a Swiss millennial, okay? I'm neutral Italian. I would be the one helping Hideo Itami up. I wouldn't be filming his demise.
Like TMZ would, you mean?
Exactly.
All right. That's what they should have said. TMZ reporter. I would have bought that.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, so Hideo Itami attacked unmercifully as he was unloading the trunk of his rental car. And Kevin Owens, while I say Kevin is involved in all this, Kevin walks by the fallen Hideo Itami and goes, "That's a shame."
Yeah, it's a little hint for the future, although Itami's going to be out for probably the rest of the year.
Well, they say 8 months.
Yeah, so he's definitely gone then.
Yeah, 6 to 8 months. So anyway, but Itami was going into that match acting like he wanted to face Kevin Owens, so I think that feud was already being set up. And I actually think he was supposed to be the winner of the first match that ended up being on this card.
Yeah.
But obviously he could not be, so that left us with Finn Balor, who has already feuded with Kevin Owens, and Tyler Breeze. This match was okay. I think we had one big, huge spot, but I think the entrances for both overshadowed the match massively.
It felt like a WrestleMania kind of bout, you know what I mean? With the entrances, Tyler Breeze had his models, and he was doing all the selfies and the video footage and whatnot, and then you see Finn Balor come out with his demon look, and dude, that guy constantly evolves that look every one of these TakeOver shows. I feel like he's going to be a full-blown dragon in, like, NXT TakeOver in, like, 2016. He had the cool eye on his back. He had the spikes going down. I mean, it was so awesome.
So he's
going
to be the mascot for the Lucha Dragons? That's what you're telling me? I thought that was Torito's game.
Lucha! Lucha! Yeah, Finn Balor, he could do that.
Alrighty. I don't think that's happening. But anyway, one thing, I felt bad for Tyler because I thought his entrance was overshadowed by Finn Balor's entrance. I really thought, you know, Tyler had a great entrance, and it was just kind of taken away by the next guy out had an even better entrance, which was kind of sad. old man moment. Explain to me what this periscoping thing is that Tyler Breeze was doing with his entrance.
Oh, yeah, I actually just learned about that yesterday. It's like this new app where you can watch somebody watching somebody else, or watching something else. Like, I was watching the NBA playoff game yesterday, and one of the ESPN guys had his periscope on, so you could see him standing in the media room watching the game and listening to all of his commentary.
So you're basically a voyeur of a voyeur.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. It's the dumbest thing ever, and I'll never use it, but I guess Tyler uses it.
Wow, society has really gone weird.
We're watching somebody watch something else.
All right. All right. But no, I mean, that's good for Tyler's gimmick, obviously. I mean, he is the kind of that tech-savvy, you know, cutting-edge kind of character, so I don't mind him using it, but I don't understand why real people would use it.
Yeah, real people, normal people who could just watch things themselves.
Yeah, you know, now people are going to go to the sporting event, have their periscope, and their friend at home will just watch the game through them and not have to buy a ticket.
Oh, paradox, I like it.
Yeah, anyway, so that was that. Second match in was the aforementioned Dana Brooke teamed with Emma, who will get into some interesting things with them in this match. They were one team facing Charlotte and Bayley. I thought this match was totally designed to hide Dana Brooke, and they actually accomplished it fairly well. I don't think Dana landed a move, did she, other than a kick or a punch?
Yeah, I don't remember much from her. It was all Emma all the time.
Yeah, like, the way they did all the spots, I thought it was brilliant, because one of the things we said on this podcast last week was, Dana Brooke, good luck, because you're going in there with three really above-average female wrestlers, and she is a below-average female wrestler at this point in terms of in-ring. And I thought they did a great job in hiding it. I didn't think the match was all that bad. Ultimately, you know, it wasn't meant to steal the show. It didn't. But I thought they did a good job with what they all had involved in this match. The thing that came out of this match, though, Emma, the crowd was chanting Evil Emma. That was fun. But what Corey Graves said about teaching Dana Brooke how to commit a misdemeanor, what was that line?
Yeah, I don't think he would spread that one. Corey Graves is just kind of goes off kilter a lot, and he's kind of like this, I'm not going to say CM Punk, but he just kind of says whatever comes right off the top of his head, and I think the misdemeanor line was a little too far.
You don't think it was a Fed line, because almost everyone seems to think it was a Fed line.
No, I don't think it was Fed. I don't think they even do that during the NXT shows.
I think Triple H does it, not as much as Vince, but I think the odd time he will, but I don't know. That was very interesting. It was quite odd. But anyway, by the way, Stephanie was at this show. She was with some guy from Game of Thrones, which I don't watch. Chris Walder, do you watch this show? Do you know who this guy was?
Yeah, that was the Mountain. He was this big brute on the show, and he's actually the world's strongest man now.
Really?
Yeah, did you see him sitting there with Stephanie? The guy is a beast.
Kevin Owens could kill him.
Oh, my God, he wishes.
Anyway, so Stephanie was at the show. She actually cut a nice little promo outside putting over NXT, which why wouldn't she? Because her husband actually made that promotion and runs it. So no shock there. Anyway, just the fact that Stephanie was in the house. Other guest appearances on this NXT special. We had all the new signees for NXT featuring Uha Nation, who started to get a big chant. People really didn't know what to chant because he doesn't have a name yet. So they chanted ooh-ah, ooh-ah, and then they kind of quit it.
Well, yeah, we don't know what his new name is, but it's a good sign for him. All these indie guys, the fans know him.
And what would make the NXT fans more excited than to have Eva Marie at the show?
Oh, God, yeah, that was brutal.
I assume that was put in there to emphasize this fact that she's training and she's getting better and all this bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, they taped, I'm not going to say any specifics.
Obviously. No, it's not. Spoilers, tapings, blah, blah, blah. She's going to end up in an NXT match, though, isn't she?
She's going to be with the brand, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, so there you go. I can't wait to see that. But I think NXT will survive despite that. We talked already at pretty good length about Baron Corbin, Bull Dempsey. I thought it was...
Rhino, yeah.
Rhino, Bull Dempsey, it's all the same.
Same guy.
Yeah, anyway, you know, that same match that he's been having with Bull Dempsey had with Rhino, and I just thought, eh. Anything to add to what we've already said? I really don't have much feelings about this match.
No, I mean, we can go right into the tag team title match.
Yeah, this was interesting. I remember we had said on the program last week, it seemed odd that Alexa Bliss had been involved in the match last week.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't seem that odd anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this whole match, Blake and Murphy, by the way, their entrance is going to kill someone. They need to stop it.
It's going to get someone.
Seriously, someone's going to have a seizure. It gets worse and worse every time. Like, it's bad.
Yeah, it's terrible, just like them.
Well, I tell you, pigtails. Can we start there?
Yeah, what was up with that, man?
Weird. Very weird. Maybe Alexa Bliss is just, like, going to be, like, just treating these guys like her little, you know,
like
servants.
A dominatrix.
Well, not a dominatrix. That would be a massive change from, like, Tinkerbell to a dominatrix. Wow, if she can pull that off. Kudos to her, Alexa.
Hilarious.
But anyway, the match goes on, and, fairly standard stuff. Really, it came down to what happened at the end. Carmella gets up on the apron for some reason, protesting something. Alexa Bliss comes out. All kinds of chaos ensues. Blake and Murphy pick up the win, and they walk out with Alexa Bliss, who I guess no longer is going to blow pixie dust and make the children happy.
Boo! I don't like this. I don't want anyone to be involved with Blake and Murphy because I feel like they're poison. Like, I cannot believe they're in the position they're in right now. They're a complete ripoff of the Wolves. I mean, even their getup is similar to it, as well as their finishing move. And now they have to bring Alexa Bliss into this, who I thought could make something of herself in the women's division, but now she's being paired in this lame managerial role with the tag team champions. So, not a fan of this.
Actually, I'm going to reserve judgment because I'm really interested to see what Alexa Bliss, the heel, will be. Because I think this will go a long way in determining how much value she actually has. Can she be a girl who can switch and go back and forth? You know, I've joked around and compared her to Trish Stratus.
Yeah.
Trish struggled being a heel at first, but I thought eventually really got it. So I'm interested to see how Alexa Bliss handles being a bad girl. And it, from a looks perspective, she looked hot.
Oh, well, she's gorgeous regardless. But again, she's really tiny, so she's really going to have to go above and beyond to be a believable heel.
I don't know, because I think in the managerial role, I don't think she has to. I think she can be a little pest and get involved in things and all kinds of stuff. It's interesting to see. I like the fact that happened. Just because it leaves us with something interesting coming out of it. I think everyone wanted to see, obviously, Colin and Enzo win. But in lieu of that, this was a pretty interesting ending.
Yeah, I mean, it continues this feud for the foreseeable future anyways, and again, it's a different character for Alexa Bliss, and it's always about developing character, and we'll see if she can pull this off.
Yeah. Credit to Triple H as we head into our next match. He was going out of his way to tell anyone that would listen that if he was on this card, he would be worried that Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch would steal the show. Well, my, yeah. Oh my, Triple H, he had some inside information on this one because Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks had one hell of a wrestling match, and it was kind of an old school match in they were telling a story. Both girls were trying to go after each other's arms after what happened at the contract signing. That made sense as Becky tried to make Sasha tap out. This match was off the chain, and by miles the best match on this show.
It's almost like at every NXT TakeOver show, we're talking about the women's match as being the best women's match since, you know, arguably Trish Stratus versus Lita in Toronto. And now I'm thinking, you know, holy crap, we had the Fatal 4-Way, We had, you know, Charlotte versus Natalya. We had Charlotte versus Sasha Banks. I think Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks was better than any of them.
It may well have been. And I got to tell you, Trish and Lita were great. Trish and Lita weren't doing the stuff these girls are.
Oh, no.
Sarah Del Rey has taken it to another level. And might as well mention this now. Sarah Del Rey gets a promotion. She's now the assistant coach down in NXT, second in command. And
well-deserved.
Matt Bloom, a.k.a. Albert, a.k.a. Jason Albert, a.k.a. a million other things. He is now officially the head coach of NXT, replacing Bill DeMott, and met with rousing cheers from everyone in the developmental and outside of it, because I think right guy for the job really makes sense to be the guy running things down there.
Smart moves. Can't go wrong with either of those two.
And happy for both of them. What Sarah Del Rey has done for women's wrestling, or Sarah Amato, her actual name, it's unbelievable what she's done with the girls down there.
She's taken, I mean, Becky Lynch, not too long ago, everyone was talking about her not deserving to be, you know, getting the spotlight shown on her during all these television shows. But holy crap, did she deliver against Sasha Banks. I mean, Sasha Banks was the MVP of that match, but Becky Lynch, afterwards, getting a rousing ovation from the Full Sail University, and even the fans were singing her entrance music there. I mean, hats off to both girls. Tremendous bout.
Yeah, she won over that crowd, which isn't easy to do.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's easy to lose that crowd. Just ask Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to win them over, and she certainly did that. And it leads to another interesting question, which I saw brought up by someone this week. You know, it's getting to the point. Is Sarah Del Rey doing a better job with the women than the men down there? I mean, let's look at the men who didn't have experience coming in to NXT. Mojo Rawley, a colossal failure, even though he popped up again this week with Zack Ryder on WWE.com. My God, it was awful. And
yeah.
Baron Corbin, also a guy out of the NFL, no wrestling experience. Mojo was from the NFL too, by the way, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has been a real big flop. Yet Sarah, Charlotte is a flair, but no wrestling experience when she came there. Looks great. You know, Becky Lynch had some experience before she came there. Sasha Banks had some limited experience on the indies. And she's just turning out these stars. And I don't know Bayley's background well enough to comment, but...
She did some stuff in Shimmer Wrestling before she came to NXT.
Okay, but Bayley's grown leaps and bounds, I think, in what she can do. I mean...
Yeah.
This girl's amazing.
And then Charlotte, she was completely raw. She had no wrestling background prior to coming to WWE, and now look at her. She's like the future of the division, not only in NXT, but in WWE as a whole. So, and I've always had a huge amount of respect for Sarah Del Rey. I've seen her stuff in Ring of Honor and always felt that she was the greatest North American female performer that was never under WWE's umbrella. And obviously she's never going to be a star in the company, but what she's doing as a trainer and a coach, bringing up the women of the future and taking all of these like little projects and making them stars. I mean, holy crap, not anyone can do that. Not just anyone can do that.
No, I mean, like, it's amazing. And I mean, I left Paige out of the mix because I think Paige, she comes from a wrestling family. She already kind of was a made product when she got to WWE to some extent. And, you know, but if she can make Eva Marie good, that would be the ultimate, like, all right, this girl is just amazing.
Put her in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can do that, though.
That'll be, we'll find that out soon.
So anyway, before we get to our main event, while we're talking Divas, some sad news for Total Divas fans. Cameron has been cut from Total Divas.
Oh, no.
And,
what are we going to do?
And more bad news, Chris Walder. Eva Marie's still there.
Rosa
Mendez, that's what I'm trying to say. Why couldn't I say that? Rosa Mendez gone.
Because she's easily forgettable.
Well, she's making out with Adam Rose, that family man, so she's got a lot of stuff on her plate.
It's French in the roster.
Anyway, back to NXT Unstoppable, as we took a little stop off there in Diva Land. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn was cleared to wrestle in this match, but everyone kind of knew he was hurt. When you looked at the clock, you knew there wasn't a lot of time left. You knew this wasn't going to last long. for what it was and all the circumstances into it, these guys put on a hell of a show.
Yeah, I mean, no surprise there. It's Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. But again, Sami Zayn may have been clear to compete, but he's still obviously hurt, and he's going to take some time off after this. You know, doing the powerbomb on the apron was meant to write him off. Whether it's from NXT or just to move him up to the main roster, that remains to be seen. But, you know, don't give everyone the Zayn Owens experience right away. Make them work for it, because these two are going to have some killer matches somewhere down the road.
Well, before we get into what the nuts and bolts of this match and what happened after this match, let's review for Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens has a possible long-term feud with Hideo Itami once he's healthy. Sami Zayn on that list as well, once he's healthy. He's got a beef with John Cena now. He will have a beef with a couple of people based on this match, I think. So that's five people that Kevin Owens has a problem with. And the number one contender who he's already beat, Finn Balor. So that's six.
It's a Kevin Owens world. We're just living in it.
Kevin Owens has his dance card full for pretty much the next year.
Which is a good thing. That means we get more Owens.
Well, we talk about how the WWE does not plan ahead and does not, like get these NXT guys a plan. Kevin Owens has a plan for months on end if they don't screw it up.
Yeah, please do not screw this up. It's starting off strong, but, again, it's WWE, so we reserve judgment.
Anyway, I liked how they did this match. Sami came out and dominated the early going. The match kind of took a turn after they had gotten outside of the ring. It looked like Kevin was going to powerbomb, or whatever the heck he was going to do, his pop-up powerbomb. I am not wordly today, Chris Walder.
Yeah, what's going on, man? It's because you didn't do the Savage impression. That usually gets the vocal cords.
No, I'm mush mouth because I'm so excited for all the things that have happened for Kevin.
You're fanboying.
Anyway, Kevin was going to end Sami Zayn on the floor at NXT. They literally had them brawl out into an empty area they had cleared out in the crowd. And Sami Zayn saved himself by grabbing the crowd rail for the fans, so he would not get pop-up powerbombed on the cement floor. Owens gets tossed back into the ringside area, and Sami missed the move, and everything changed. Owens does the pop-up powerbomb on the apron. Zayn is dead, for all intents and purposes. Kevin Owens has none of it. Refs come out, doctors come out, Kevin is still going to beat the hell out of Sami, whether they like it or not. This continues. He throws Sami into the stairs eventually, just starts beating on his face. If there's any criticism, if it's Kevin, you probably should have been punching the shoulder, not the face, but whatever. Who cares? Then Kevin rolls Sami into the ring. There's more refs out there. There's a few doctors. And William Regal comes out. Regal tells him, enough, no more. Owens looks like he's going to listen to him. Then, nah, he didn't. And he headbutts Regal after Regal tried to fishhook him to stop him from attacking Sami Zayn. How long has it been since we've seen a fishhook in wrestling? I don't know. But that could be a potential feud for Kevin Owens.
Regal always does that with, like, the top heels in the company. He did that with Cesaro for a little run. He had some matches with Cassius Ohno. And, I mean, no one is going to complain if we get a Regal versus Owens at some point.
I thought you were saying he fishhooks everybody. I haven't seen him fishhook anybody in a long time.
Anyone ever fishhooked anybody? I don't remember the last time we've seen that.
That's like an old, like, shooter move in wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, back in the 20s, William Regal pulling it out of the bag. And
it's pretty funny, though.
Yeah, I literally think we're going to get a Regal-Owens match at some point, because I think Kevin Owens will goat Regal into it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And, of course, like I mentioned, Finn Balor as well. But anyway, Sami Zayn was going to be massacred because no one could stop Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens got a chair. He took one shot to Sami Zayn, which some people are debating if that was supposed to happen. Maybe somebody missed a cue backstage. Who knows? Anyway, some strange 70s porno music plays, and the crowd is like, who the hell is this? Oh my God, it's Samoa Joe. And yes, I said that right. The announcers said it was Samoa Joe. There was a shirt on WWE.com, shop.com, that you can buy that says Samoa Joe. Holy shit. Like, that part alone, I am stunned at. Even more so than Samoa Joe showing up in NXT, which I think everyone kind of expected to happen. But he's Samoa Joe!
Okay, let me make something perfectly clear, because I reported this recently for WrestlingRumors.net about Samoa Joe's quote-unquote deal with WWE right now. So what he's working on is something very unique, something they've never done before.
Obviously!
He's going to be a part of NXT. There's no doubt about that. He has the merchandise going up. That's fine. But they're still going to allow him to finish up his indie dates, the one that he scheduled before, and work any independent dates in the future. So technically, he's not under an exclusive WWE contract. If that was the case, then there is no doubt in my mind that they would make him change his name, just like they did with everybody else. But since he's still going to be working those dates, they can milk the fact that he is Samoa Joe, and if he ever does come to WWE full-time, you better believe he's going to have a name change.
I don't think that... You can't! You let the genie out of the bottle. You can't do it, can you?
They have no choice at that point, do they?
I think the genie's out of the bottle. He's Samoa Joe.
There's only one other guy that they've gotten away with doing that, and that's CM Punk.
Yeah!
And that they're going to treat him the same Samoa Joe, and his reputation better, you know, like, I mean, I'm at a loss for words at this point. I mean, the only way this makes sense is because of the contract, but if he keeps the name Samoa Joe, and they keep calling him that for months on end before he signs an exclusive deal, I mean, you're absolutely right. Maybe they're going to be backed into a corner and say, I mean, we've advertised him as Samoa Joe for months, we've called him Samoa Joe for months, we have to stick with this.
Unless he becomes some mass Samoan, I mean, that's about it. Yeah, he's Samoa Joe. That to me was more shocking than him confronting Kevin Steen. Although, that was great. The confrontation, the stare down, all of it. The fact that Kevin left and came back and left again. Loved all of that.
Perfect.
It was well done. Joe addressed the crowd, and they kind of did it like sneaky, where it ended up on .com, and didn't have a hell of a lot to say. Wasn't really saying anything that was earth-shattering other than that he was here in NXT. And, you know, as you said, it clears up, you know, all these indie dates he had. One of which was a charity show that he was doing with Smash Wrestling up in Toronto. So that would have looked terrible if he had a no-showed that. So,
just a quick note. I mean, we're obviously going to talk about TNA soon. But TNA announcer Josh Matthews went on Twitter, and you know how everyone talks about, like, TNA is inconsequential and no one really cares about it.
Yeah.
He gave the WWE NXT guys, the announcer specifically, crap for them calling Samoa Joe by his name, because his thought process was, if no one knows TNA, if no one watches our programming, how on earth would they know who Samoa Joe is? Hey, newsflash, Josh Matthews, even if you had no clue who that guy was, his name was on his bloody T-shirt. I mean, you could just decipher it from that. Plus, Samoa Joe had a reputation before going to TNA, so shut your damn mouth.
Amen. Samoa Joe was not made in TNA.
He was exactly.
He was made in ROH. And as much as TNA wants to claim they made AJ Styles, you know what? He kind of was made in ROH, too.
Exactly. So Josh Matthews just... think before you open your mouth next time. That really bothered me.
Oh, and by the way, Christopher Daniels, who they also probably claim they made, no. He was in ROH.
ROH, yeah.
And in fact, ROH pretty much is making all the stars in professional wrestling right now that go up to any higher level. That would be them. That actually makes a nice transition into what Triple H had to say prior to this event. The event obviously ended with Owens and Samoa Joe staring down, and who knows what comes of that. Obviously a match down the road, I would assume. But Triple H has made it a hobby policy thing to do. The day before the big NXT shows, he does these group media calls, and they're always quite entertaining. Dave Meltzer, who will be in the news later, monopolized this call and took the first 22 minutes asking Triple H, I believe it was 5 or 6 questions, and you're only supposed to ask two, but he's Dave Meltzer. Who the hell cares? You know, Meltzer can get away with that. Anyway.
Yeah, he's the grandfather of internet wrestling.
He is. Like, let's face it, Meltzer is providing news for literally 90% of the internet wrestling sites out there who don't bother to go get their own news. He does their work.
Exactly.
Anywho, Triple H had a lot of stuff to say about NXT and where things were heading. Incidentally, Samoa Joe was brought up in this call the day before. Triple H played it very cool. He said, yeah, Joe's been down to the Performance Center, but a lot of guys come through here that you don't even know, because Kevin and Sammy and other guys here actually have friends, and they come here, shockingly enough. And he played it off that he only talked to Samoa Joe for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, Triple H, he can lie. He's good at it. Anyway, what he wasn't lying about, though, was the success of NXT. He really pointed to the whole fact of the San Jose show at WrestleMania weekend really turning a corner with WWE management and Vince McMahon, who was at that show, and really said that a lot of people above him, which I don't know who really is above Triple H other than Vince, but a lot of the higher-up executives were impressed with what they saw at that NXT show in San Jose. And one of the other things that was brought up, ROH believes that NXT is direct competition for them. How do you feel about that, Triple H? Triple H says they're not, but with what they're doing, I can't help but disagree with what Triple H is saying there. I can't help but think this is the WWE Super Indie, and just like Vince took out all the territories, I think NXT could possibly take out all the indies.
No, I disagree with you there, and me and you have talked about this on previous podcasts about, you know, especially when NXT started booking shows when ROH is in Philadelphia, and then you make the whole comparison about being direct competition. I don't think NXT is competition for anybody at this point. If you want to say it's competition for WWE. We've heard all of these reports about how the main roster guys are upset that NXT gets all of these opportunities to have these long, you know, these historic matchups and whatnot, and they can't get away with that on Raw and SmackDown. If there's a correlation between the two, it's because, you know, of the jealousies and the matches and the quality of the in-ring work and whatnot. I don't think ROH is competition for NXT. They might be, you know, the feeder system. They might be providing talent, but you're never going to hear down the road of an ROH versus NXT war. Absolutely not.
No, but what I'm saying is, if NXT, and this is Triple H's plan, I was getting to this, Triple H wants NXT to be touring full-time 2016, 3 days a week. He'd like to have a split crew where you have the more experienced guys going U.S., Canada, international, and the less experienced people doing like the loop in Florida like they've been doing. So if they're going three nights a week and they're hitting towns, this is going to affect ROH's business. How can it not? Because they're going to go to the towns where all the smart fans are. Guess what? That's where ROH goes. Big towns for ROH are Chicago, Philadelphia, Toronto, New York. You know, this is the places that NXT's going to go.
I just feel like this is part of the process. You know, you consider NXT developmental, getting these guys and girls on the road and experiencing the world of live events and house shows. I mean, that's good for the brand. I mean, again, ROH is going to do fine regardless unless you start saying, well, NXT is in the area a week after and fans can't afford two wrestling tickets. Then maybe you could start making that comparison. But again, I think ROH will be just fine, regardless of how successful NXT gets.
Well, Triple H claims they're not in competition. So, you know, we'll see what that means. But if NXT runs a show in the same place on the same day, the gig is up. Like, you know,
how often will that happen?
I don't know. But I just think ROH should be concerned on many levels, because NXT is going to need to feed itself as well in terms of talent. I get what you're saying. I'm not against what Triple H is doing for the NXT brand, but to say it's not going to have an impact on ROH and other people, I think is just, you know, trying to paint a rosy picture that isn't really there.
I think losing talent is going to be more of a kick in the ass to ROH than having to compete with NXT house shows. I mean, Triple H said himself, and there was even a couple of Rolling Stone interviews, a lot of people on the independent scene right now are giving calls to Hunter and the NXT Performance Center saying, we want to be a part of the show. And if NXT continues to grow, maybe when people start ending their contracts with ROH, they'll have the option of going elsewhere. And they'll take it.
We're going to get sidetracked a little bit, but that was another thing Triple H brought up in this conference call. He kind of suggested that a few people out there might have been suggesting they were going to NXT that he's never talked to. A lot of people speculated this was the Young Bucks, but another two names I heard, and it makes a lot more sense because they just re-signed a contract with Ring of Honor Wrestling, the Briscoe Brothers. So I don't know who it was Triple H was referring to, but he was all for it. He said, good for the guys. If they can use us to leverage themselves and get more money, good for them.
I don't think it was the Young Bucks. I just read an interview from them, and they were asked about...
In the Rolling Stone, by the way!
Yeah, holy crap. I mean, mainstream stuff, eh? Good for those boys. But, yeah, they did allude to the fact that, you know, heading down to NXT and making less money than they would in New Japan and Ring of Honor might not be the best course for them just because of, you know, the contracts that they're currently under and having each of them having their own respective families. So they wouldn't want to move their families down to Orlando, Florida and take a pay cut. So I don't expect it to be them. The Briscoes, they've had some controversial comments in the past, and I think WWE is trying to stay clear of them. So I don't think it was either. I don't think it was either tag team.
No, but Triple H said he didn't talk to whoever this was. So the Briscoes maybe told ROH, yeah, NXT wants us, and this is what they're going to do for us. What can you do for us? I think that's much more plausible than the Young Bucks, because the Young Bucks already have their deal with New Japan. They already kind of were set up.
Yeah.
So for them to brag about turning down NXT wasn't really a big deal. And to be honest, from Triple H's perspective, if he had talked to them and he turned them down, is he going to tell everybody that? I don't think so.
He won't, no.
So it's going to remain a mystery, but it is interesting, Triple H's thoughts on the indies and all that. But just to finish up our conversation we were having, I think that's the point. It goes hand in and foot, Walter, because you lose the talent. Well, now you can't draw as well because you don't have the talent, and then you're competing with NXT that's coming into your markets.
Well, just keep pushing Dalton Castle, ROH, and you'll be just fine.
All right. We might as well get into that. I was at the ROH house show at the Ted Reeve Arena, the lovely Ted Reeve Arena in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And not as many people as last year, but they did have two shows. They did the iPay-per-view the night before, which I have gotten a chance to see. If you haven't gotten a chance to see that, go out of your way to see it, especially the main event. It was bonkers. Great show by ROH, and the Philly shows are supposedly just as great. But this television taping, I have to admit, your boy Dalton Castle, hell of a match coming up. I believe it's going to be on ROH TV. Don't know when. But him and Jushin Thunder Liger, one of the more funny matches I have seen in a long time.
Thank you. You're coming around, James.
Well, no, it was just great. Like, the way Jushin Thunder Liger played into this, too, it was really great. You know, Jushin Thunder Liger had a hell of a weekend in Toronto. He got motorboated by Maria on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And he was fooling around with your boy Dalton Castle's Feather Brigade, the Peacock Feather guys, on the Saturday. It was a match that stood out for being different on a show that had some unbelievable in-ring matches, which Roderick Strong and Nakamura, that was just bonkers. I mean, one of the best matches I've seen in a long time, and one of the best matches I've seen live. Nakamura is something else, man.
Yeah, how, did he have like a killer entrance this time, or what?
No,
how was it?
It was just kind of the normal Nakamura entrance. The costume wasn't all that big, but boy, oh boy, in ring and the match was out of this world. And
I also heard there was like what 14 matches during this show.
Yeah, well, it was a television taping. Plus, they kind of had some added matches with the New Japan people being there, so it was kind of. It was a big jumbled mess, and they actually taped segments too because this is their television leading into Best in the World. So we now know a match that on this very program we started the building of this match. I'm taking credit for us starting this. Jim Ross calling Jay Lethal the ROH World Champion might have actually started this. Who knows? Point is, we're getting Jay Lethal. We're getting Jay Briscoe. We talked about this way back in December with Jay. I think this is going to be a great match for ROH.
And, I mean, making favorites right now, I think this looks like the opportunity for Jay Lethal to become World Heavyweight Champion.
The crowd was actually a bit pro-Jay Briscoe.
Really?
Or Jay Lethal, rather.
Yeah, Lethal.
Yeah, it was kind of weird to see. Also, we mentioned Moose and his little venture into GWF, Global Force Wrestling. It will be short. Moose signed a new contract with ROH. If he was using Global Force Wrestling to leverage himself a new contract, well done, Moose. He gets a new contract with ROH, so all he's going to be working for GFW is the little ballpark shows, much like the Young Bucks, who are doing a few of those as well. So the people are glad to take Jeff Jarrett's money. Apparently, they just don't want to be on his television, which he doesn't have, by the way.
And WWE reportedly offered Moose an opportunity to be on Tough Enough, which he turned down.
Yeah, so, you know, what's interesting, though, is I don't know if this was because of the GFW news or what, but at these TV tapings, much like the NXT fans do with Bull, how the Bull comes out with the entrance, goes Bull, 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 while Moose is like Moose, Moose, Moose.
Yeah.
The fans were going, it would go Moose, and a lot of fans were chanting Sucks.
Yeah.
After the Moose. So I don't know if that was about the GFW thing or what it was. In ring, this guy is really good. Like, I mean, he doesn't suck, but yeah, it's quite interesting how the crowd reacted to Moose. It was quite the thing. And Toronto, always a great time. Michael Elgin, not over in his hometown anymore. They did not have any time for Michael Elgin in Toronto either.
Well, he's not over at all.
No, but I think he legitimately thought coming back to Toronto, he would get cheers, and he really didn't.
Well, when we saw him at the All-Star pay-per-view, he didn't even get any cheers, and he was the world champion.
It was kind of, I thought it was kind of 60-40 against him, and now it's full-blown 100% against him, pretty much.
Totally.
Few Elgin chants, but he is basically a heel everywhere he goes.
How were your boys, the Kingdom?
They were great. They won. They beat the Bullet Club, Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson. By the way, one last thing about my ROH experience.
Yes.
They're all out there signing autographs. You've been there. You were there. You weren't there for Global Wars last year.
No, All-Star Extravaganza
okay.
was my first
But
show,
you
yeah.
did see, like, at the All-Star Extravaganza how they line up and they do the signings, the pictures, and all that.
Yes.
Well, the two gentlemen who faced the Kingdom, Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, they weren't pulling any punches about this out here, signing pictures and autographs thing. They both had a Bud Light, like literally at their table, just drinking beer while they waited for people to come up to them for pictures and autographs.
That's badass.
That is kind of badass. I liked it. So don't hate me, Carl Anderson or Doc Gallows. But, you know, I mean, everyone saw those beers under the table. You weren't hiding them well.
Killer, yeah.
Anyway, so that was what was going on with ROH.
Well, I also heard, what, the Kingdom joined a faction?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's kind of weird what's going on with the Kingdom right now. They are still heels in ROH. The fans still do not like my boys, Michael Bennett and Matt Taven. Why? I don't know, because they're great. And you're wrong. Basically, that's it. But in Japan, the Bullet Club are actually, you know, bad guys in Japan. But here, everyone loves the Bullet Club. And boy, oh boy, at that show, let me tell you, if I did not see Young Bucks t-shirts, I saw Bullet Club t-shirts. They owned Toronto, that show. And the Bullet Club are supposed to be the bad guys. So now, it seems the Kingdom have made an alliance with Okada and Roppongi Vice to go after the Bullet Club.
Yeah, they call themselves Chaos in New Japan, and I think Nakamura is a part of that faction, too.
I don't know, because are him and Okada on the same page? I don't know.
Yes, they are, yeah.
They are? Really?
Yep.
I did not know
Didn't they team up at one of the shows, the Global War shows, or the...
No, oh, yeah, maybe they did. You might be right.
Yeah, it was Nakamura and Okada versus the Briscoes in one of the
they won.
In Philly, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So
I was thinking it was Tanahashi for some reason.
No, not Tanahashi, no.
I was thinking it was Nakamura and Tanahashi that teamed up. But oh well, whatever. Anyway, things are going all right for ROH, but they're obviously worried about the juggernaut that is NXT, and I tend to be worried with them. Chris Walder says, no problem.
I'm just, again, I'm the Swiss millennial, man. Nothing bothers me.
Well, yeah, it's not your money. It's not your company.
Yep.
Speaking of companies.
Here we go.
That are in some trouble and, you know, might not make it to see Christmas. We're not talking about Global Force Wrestling, although that could very well be true.
Could happen.
We are talking about the much beleaguered, much maligned TNA Wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, be alerted. We are going longer than 60 seconds this week because it actually demands we go longer than the 60 seconds this week. TNA Wrestling, with their new partners, Destination America. We already kind of mentioned how Destination America has fallen out of love with them and they canceled all their auxiliary programming. Mike Tenay was getting paid to sit on his couch in Las Vegas. All of this you already knew. What you didn't know was what Dave Meltzer reported, which is not only did Destination America move them to Wednesday nights, they also gave them the bullet in the head and canceled them, meaning come September, TNA is right back where they started when they were with Spike TV without a TV deal, yada, yada, yada.
But no one with the company will agree to that and say it's true because everyone on Twitter, everyone on social media says, don't believe what you're hearing. They're even threatening legal action against the likes of Dave Meltzer for reporting such nonsense. But again, we all know what's really going on.
That was TNA Dixie that started all of that and threatened legal action, if you can believe that. I start with the question of, who has more credibility in the wrestling business, Dave Meltzer or TNA? I'm going with Dave Meltzer.
I too will go with Meltzer.
So, good luck with your lawsuit, Dixie. Let's face it, you can't afford a lawyer. I have a theory. Maybe that's why they brought Billy Corgan in to afford the lawyer.
You think so, eh?
Maybe. He must have a good one. I mean, Smashing Pumpkins are doing more money than TNA, aren't they?
Well, that's not even up for debate. That's very true.
Yeah, they're going on tour, actually, this summer, Smashing Pumpkins. TNA, they're not even touring ballparks, are they?
I don't even think they can afford to get the ballpark.
Well, Jeff Jarrett can. I would assume they could, being the global juggernaut that they are.
Jarrett's the lesser of two evils here.
Anyway, so all this said, TNA is right back where they started again, and, you know, I don't know where this company goes from here. Like, why won't it just admit defeat and leave? Like, it's gotten to that point. Like, now they're going to be a company come September. They do have a TV deal here in Canada with the Fight Network. they have arrangements over in England, obviously, and some other international markets. But let's face it, that's not enough to pay for the roster. That's not enough to pay for anything. Given the state of TNA wrestling, I imagine they begged to go on the Fight Network. I don't know that for a fact, but I think they were just begging to go somewhere up here in Canada. I mean, when will this company just accept defeat and wave the white flag?
If these reports are true, which we both agree they are, they're dead in September. That's it. They're not going to find another television deal. Destination America gave them a huge favor when they offered a multi-year, multi-million dollar agreement to air their programming. And the reports all said that TNA was delivering very good ratings to start because there was a little bit of momentum, there was a little bit of intrigue. But, you know, eventually people caught on that TNA was still TNA. And after a while, you know, that was one of the main reasons why they were going to move them from Friday to Wednesdays, because with the summer months coming up, TV shows usually see a dip in ratings anyways, so they were trying to save TNA a little bit in that department. But again, there's nothing that you could do to save a product that has the reputation that TNA's built over the years. As good as they've... I mean, I will give them credit. The product's been slightly better than it's been in the past, but at the same time, it will always have that stench of being TNA Impact Wrestling, and no one can ever take it seriously.
Couple of things before we wrap this up. I find it ironic that on the week we learn of this company's likely death, although that's been said many times before, look at where the three stars that they lay the most claim to are. You have Samoa Joe, bigger than he's ever been, debuting in NXT. I watched AJ Styles as part of the Bullet Club on Saturday with a million people with Bullet Club shirts. Hugely over, wrestle an amazing match with the Young Bucks.
And he's the IWGP champion.
Correct. And Christopher Daniels, probably the slacker of the three, he's just the ROH Tag Team Champion with Frankie Kazarian, part of a hot group that also has another former TNA star, Chris Sabin, in it. Yet, this company couldn't make all this work.
They had all the talent at one point. They've had the big names. You know, they still have Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy and Bobby Lashley and whatnot. Those guys have some drawing power. But again, when you see all of these former TNA guys go off and, you know, the TNA originals, so to speak, and they're having huge success without the TNA brand, that just goes to show that why would anyone even waste their time sticking with TNA? Your ceiling is so diminished when you're with that company, and it baffles me when you hear guys like Kurt Angle say that the best years of their career were with TNA. Like, what a load of crap. How could anyone believe that?
Well, it is in terms of a lifestyle. I mean, they don't wrestle as much. They make good money.
Well, maybe from a health standpoint, but this, I mean, in WWE, he was one of the biggest stars on the planet at one point.
Yeah, but you don't know what Kurt's referring to. And, I mean, the money they were paying AJ Styles was ridiculous. Like, if that's true, the number that AJ threw out there, that's ridiculous. Like, I like AJ and all that, but he wasn't worth that, not with what that company was drawing and doing.
Uh-huh.
And you look at other names that have rolled through that company. CM Punk was once in TNA.
Yes, he was.
They could have had CM Punk. The Young Bucks, the hottest thing in tag team wrestling today, were in TNA wrestling. Jay Lethal was in TNA wrestling. Like, all these guys doing amazing things right now, and TNA couldn't bring those amazing things out of them because they lack any sort of direction or any sort of game plan.
Well, this is the same company that wanted to build around two 50-year-olds and Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair, and they were the focal points of the programming for a little bit, and they had Bubba the Love Sponge come in, and the Nasty Boys competed, and Val Venus was a regular for a little while, and all of these huge wrestlers that you just alluded to, you know, they were, like, put on the back burner, and TNA has no one to blame but themselves. They had every opportunity to make this right, and if they get canceled in September, which we all think is going to happen, they have no one else to blame but themselves. Look in the mirror, guys.
And for the people that root for TNA and say, oh, well, you know, it's wrestling, we want everyone to do well and all that, you know what? It's gotten to the point I look at it as a wrestling fan or someone who's part of wrestling, TNA's becoming an embarrassment for the sport of wrestling. One of the things that was the breaking point, apparently, with this whole cancellation, Destination America wasn't that upset with the ratings. They actually were happy with them. It was advertisers refused to be advertised on TNA programming. That's why you buy programming. If you can't get people to advertise on it, what the heck good is it to have a product, regardless of what the rating is?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, even if the ratings were acceptable for a little while, the fact that advertisers don't even want their names associated with that crap goes to show that its lifespan was pretty much dead the moment it started.
Like, there's some ambulance-chasing lawyer that said, don't you dare put my ad on TNA Wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, don't you put my 888-8888 number on wrestling. No. That's Salino and Barnes, by the way, if you live
Salino
in the local
and Barnes,
area.
Yeah.
They are your injury attorneys who do not sponsor this show. But, yeah, don't put our ad on that show. Like, that was the most damning thing of all. And that hurts everybody. Like, that hurts WWE, that hurts ROH, that hurts everybody. When wrestling gets that kind of reputation, that's not good for anybody.
Well, TNA, they shot themselves in the foot, but they have so much, like, quality talent there, and if that company ever folds, a majority of those guys are going to be out of work because not everyone can go to NXT or ROH or work the independent scene. So it's kind of sad at the same time to see, you know, the Eric Youngs or the Kenny Kings and the low keys, the guys that can actually...
GFW, man!
Oh, yeah, Global Force Wrestling will become the next TNA. There you go.
Wait a second, so TNA won't really die.
It's just going to become Global Force.
Oh
my God. I never even thought of that. Oh, crap.
It just keeps living. But Dixie will be gone.
Dixie will be gone. She could do her Housewives of Nashville thing that she wanted to do.
Now her dad will just be upset because he's got to find her another job.
Yeah, there you go.
That poor man, he doesn't need that.
Can't be flipping burgers.
He doesn't need that. Well, Dixie Carter is not flipping burgers, so I'm pretty sure that.
Well,
she would own the burger joint and ruin it.
Yeah, there you go. Couldn't even manage a burger joint.
Wow. Well, who was that said, it was Mark Cuban in basketball, said that the referee was so bad he couldn't manage a Wendy's, a Dairy Queen. And Dairy Queen contacted Cuban and made him manager for a day, and he went along with that.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. Mark Cuban, shout out to you, even though your team is not currently left in the NBA playoffs. Good for Mark Cuban.
The team he insulted is, though. So there you go. Yeah. Never open your mouth without having some backing. Dixie Carter, you're done.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Would we even advertise this podcast on TNA?
No, because they wouldn't want to listen to us. What positive have we ever said about TNA wrestling?
Just for even if we didn't, if we talked about them for like 30 seconds a show, and we only talked about the good stuff that TNA has to offer.
Tune in for the 60 seconds of TNA where we bash your program into oblivion.
Tara Terrell looked pretty. There, now pay us.
Oh, by the way, I'm kind of sticking with TNA. Did you see the comments of one Gail Kim?
Oh, and she called Vince McMahon a sexist because what was the backing to that? When they never pushed women when he was there?
It was a backhanded kind of insult compliment. Gail Kim complimented Triple H on seeing the value of women in NXT wrestling.
Yeah.
While Vince McMahon was a sexist pig. Actually, she only said sexist. I added pig.
Yeah.
So... I guess Gail Kim hasn't got the memo that TNA's ending and she would have to work in WWE, or she's married to that famous rich chef guy and doesn't give a damn.
Global Force, first women's champion.
Everyone, when there's no place to go in wrestling, where do you go?
Global Force.
By the way, some sad news as we end up the podcast. One member of Global Force Wrestling is already gone. Did you know this?
Scott Hall?
Yes, Scott Hall, who apparently was at some indie show on the weekend in Jersey and unfortunately was liquored up and caused quite the scene, because even if Scott Hall was liquored up, he was getting paid for that trip, brother. And they were not going to pay Scott Hall in his drunken state.
Is this report, I'm seeing a report right now, I hope it's untrue, because if it's not, then it just goes to show that TNA is an absolute joke, that Dixie Carter sent an email to Destination America calling them dummies, but she accidentally, she sent an email calling Destination America dummies, but then she accidentally used the CC function and added them to the list.
That's happened in TNA Wrestling before.
Really, has it?
Oh, yeah, that's how the whole Vince Russo thing got out.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, if this is... Oh, he's so screwed.
That actually happened with the whole Vince Russo thing, because there was a guy, I think he was from PW Insider, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they courtesy copied him in on Vince Russo's notes for the announcers.
Oh, this is so bad.
So,
I feel terrible, but in a way, it's like, it's hilarious, too.
I mean, let's say this. Dixie, by all accounts, from everyone, and Stone Cold just recently interviewed her, too.
Yeah.
A lovely woman, it seems. But a clueless woman when it comes to the wrestling business, does not know what the hell she's doing, and she'll listen to anybody. I think that's her problem. She doesn't know, like... Wrestling is full of carnies and con artists. And this is a woman that believes people. This is a bad combination.
Yeah, like, we would never insult anyone, like, personally, unless they absolutely...
Oh, I would, but
yeah,
I would need motivation
to
do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if they deserve it, we'll talk crap about all we want. But with Dixie Carter, it's just, she's just really bad at her job. And, like, the decisions she's making, and especially with this email, like, come on, you can't do that.
If that's actually true, that would be in the book, The Death of TNA Wrestling.
Put her in the Hall of Fame.
Written by Brian Alvarez. Complete with comments from Dave Meltzer on how he laughed when he got threatened to be sued by TNA Wrestling.
What a maneuver!
coming soon to bookshelves near you. Anyway, it was a huge week for Kevin Owens. It was a big week with WWE and NXT. ROH, you know, wrapping up their stuff with Global Wars and War of the Worlds. Going very successfully. I mean... Go out of your way, find the shows, they were great. TNA, the same old thing. And, you know, and then when you get into the global forces and, you know, you get into Lucha Underground, like, Lucha Underground might not get renewed either by El Rey.
Well, that would be a shame.
That would be a shame, because a lot of people seem to like it. But, again, you've got to figure out a way to do things properly. Like, for whatever people want to say, the second best company in wrestling, whether it's financially or not, it's Ring of Honor. And
of course,
WWE obviously gets that, because where is all the WWE talent coming from? Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm. There's a AAA right now.
Yeah, like, NXT's the AAA.
And then ROH would be what?
Double A.
I'm not a baseball aficionado, damn it.
Which is a problem. Well, if you've been watching the Toronto Blue Jays, they're playing like Double A.
You couldn't force me to watch the Jays game.
They're
actually
awful.
My girlfriend wants to take me to a Jays game, so that'll be a barrel laugh.
Oh, yeah. 3 hours of fun.
Yeah, I got to get boozed up for that sucker.
No, you know what you do? You get the WWE Network on your phone, and you watch some wrestling events during the baseball.
I'll bring a Fight Owens fight sign to the Jays game.
Is there an Owens on the blue?
Yeah, I was about to say.
That would be
just
funny.
Make sense. Yeah,
he'd
there
be
you
like,
go.
Yay, I got a fan.
some
guy. He's some pitcher that never gets in the game. Owens, woo!
That Swiss idiot with his sign.
Yeah, you damn Swiss millennial. You know nothing about baseball.
Okay, we're getting personal now.
Anyway. It was a heck of a week for Kevin Owens. It was a heck of a week for wrestling. A lot of things in the fire. I mean, I'm really excited about Kevin Owens' future, and It's not very, very often that you get excited about someone's future, and everyone will say, oh yeah, but the WWE will just screw it up. But look at how Kevin has gone. Kevin's been Teflon since he's been in this company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've done everything right with Kevin. Can you think of a thing they've done wrong with him?
No, I mean, they gave him the championship 2 months beyond his debut. He had a killer opening match with CJ Parker, who, I mean, again, how many times can you say that? He broke his damn nose, and it was still awesome. They put him on commentary. They gave him a Sami Zayn feud right away. And lo and behold, yeah, he's going to have 10,000 feuds for the next millennium. So it's all good. We're getting Kevin Owens in the spotlight, and no one has any right to complain right now. They've booked him perfectly.
Yeah, I think they've done a great job with him. And, you know, he really, I've just got no complaints. I mean, I was really hesitant when Kevin first came to this company. I was like, okay, he's here, but are they going to get him? Are they going to let him be him? Kevin has been himself this whole entire time. Now, he sees it as there's little nuances between the Kevin Owens and Kevin Steen, but basically it's the same guy.
Yeah, they haven't changed a thing with him, and that's for business.
Other than they've cleaned up his language a little bit.
Yeah, he's not going to be swearing.
That's about it. But, you know, I mentioned that Sam Roberts interview. If you go back and find that and listen to it, it's the story he tells about his first photo shoot is very interesting and very great in how that all came to be, because apparently Kevin didn't think that he was going to be able to wear the ring gear that he wears now and spent about $1,000 on singlets when he came to the WWE. These singlets have never seen the light of day. Sam Roberts will fill you in on how the rest of that story goes with his interview if you go check it out. But a great little story from Kevin Owens that how he had his first photo shoot in WWE.
Perfect.
So
the basketball shorts aren't going anywhere.
No, they're still there. So is the cutoff t-shirt. And we'll end on this. On the Twitterverse, there has been this design rolling around. WWE, make this shirt. It is the champ is here with the Canadian flag in the background, an arrow pointing down to the NXT title. Please, go make this shirt, WWE.
Yes, please. I would get it.
You would buy one? I would buy one. There you go. You have 2 sales guaranteed and about 30 million more to come as the Great White North. Kevin Owens has become the anti-Canadian hero this week. That's what's happened.
The anti-Canadian?
Yeah, he's like the anti-hero that's Canadian.
Oh, okay. So like the anti-American Canadian hero.
He's kind of the Bret Hart gimmick now.
Yeah, there you go.
Because Canadian, like a lot of Americans, I've listened to a lot of things all done by Americans talking about the whole stepping on the belt thing.
Yeah.
I really believe that was designed more to aim at Canadians, because Vince McMahon, for a lot of the things he gets criticized for, the one thing he's always seemed to be able to do is tap into what Canadians will go for. When Canadians saw that U.S. belts got stepped on by a Canadian, they loved that.
Yeah, I paused for that a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
They loved it, because we here in Canada, anytime we can have a Canadian that's better than an American, and we get to brag about it a little, we get excited about that up here.
You're our big hope, Sami Zayn.
No, Sami Zayn is done. Kevin Owens. I told you. Kevin Owens is our hero now.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Sami ultimately
Where was Kevin Owens born?
He hails from Maryville, Quebec. I don't know if he was actually born there.
Oh, okay. But Kevin Owens, okay. He I love his French accent always comes through in his promos. It's cool.
Yeah, I laughed at people trying to find fault with Kevin with that, too. I mean, for people who don't know, English is Kevin's second language. He exactly. learned how to speak English from Jim Ross, of all people. I mean, my God, even Jim Ross says that's a bad thing.
Well, yeah, that's what happens. But I noticed it when he was saying WWE during his promo that it came through really French. But who cares? Unless WWE is a problem with that, of course.
Well, they shouldn't, because I'm French-Canadian, too. So the heck with that.
You're French-Canadian?
I am, but I'm adopted, so I don't have any of the language or any of that.
Oh, okay.
I didn't learn English from JR.
I learn something every day on the podcast.
There you go. I'm French-Canadian, you're a Swiss millennial. And guess what? We're out of here. See you next week, folks.
This is former Ring of Honor World Champion, Adam Cole, baby, and you're listening to Condo on the Moon Podcast.